Good morning. Greetings to you all.
Good morning.
Let's stand and take prayer requests.
Brian and Erica.
Okay. When are they coming back?
Anybody know? 9. Father, thank you for this day that we have to be together, to read your word together. Pray that you would be with us and guide us, speak to us, and pray that you would bless the other brothers who aren't with us today. Pray especially for Brian Minter. You'd allow things to work out for him to be back with us again. Erica, pray, oh Lord, you would help those amongst us who have fallen away, especially for Jose Sway, and bless Anthony and Peru, and others as well. Lord, pray, oh Lord, that you would be with Brother Kevin and his family, help them to get well soon. Pray that you would bless Brother David's trip to India and encourage those that are seeking there, help them to understand how they can start taking steps of faith and following you, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We just got done reading about who? Hezekiah.
And he had a son named what? Chet. Manasseh. That's who we're going to read about today. Manasseh. Chapter 33. 2 Chronicles 33. Manasseh was how old when he started to reign? Chet?
20.
Say that again?
20.
No? Chet?
12.
12 years old. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. How long? How many years did he reign? 55 years. And what did he do? Hands.
That which was evil.
55 years doing that which is evil. Here we have a king for 55 years doing that which is evil. Just like the Gentile heathen who God cast out before they came. And God cast them out because of what they were doing and gave it to Israel because they would do something better serving the Lord. And now Israel is doing the same thing the people did before them were doing. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. And he reared up altars to Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven, in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. So God spoke to Manasseh, and he spoke to the people who were doing these things. For 55 years they had been doing these, and God had been speaking to them, and they were not listening. And we get a little bit of a glimpse of what was happening in Jeremiah. Jeremiah mentions Manasseh. And Jeremiah says that because this happened, this is one of the reasons that Israel would be taken captive to other nations as slaves. And this is what Jeremiah said about that in chapter 15. Jeremiah said in chapter 15, verse 2, he said, "It shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then thou shalt tell them, thus saith the Lord, such are for death to death, such are for the sword to sword, and such are for the famine to famine, and such as are for captivity to captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith the Lord, the sword to slay, and dogs to tear, and fowls of heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem." So what was happening here, according to Jeremiah, the prophet, was one of the reasons all the things that happened to Israel took place. God punished them and removed them and took them away captive into other nations as slaves. And there's another interesting thing that was going on at this time that Jeremiah mentions in the previous chapter that is interesting to take note of. In the chapter before this, Jeremiah says to God, in chapter 14:13, Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophet say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place." So while all these people were doing all these wicked things, what was happening? What were these prophets telling them while they were doing these wicked things? What's that? No. Jeremiah was telling them to repent. But there were these other prophets saying to them that you won't see any sword, you won't be in any danger, and you'll have peace. And it goes on to say, "Then the Lord said unto Jeremiah, the prophet's prophecy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination. and a thing of naught in the seat of and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, and with a very grievous blow. So there were false prophets during these times, and they were telling people that it's okay. Everything's going to be wonderful. God has a wonderful plan, and they're going to have peace, and nothing bad is going to happen to them. When we think of false prophets, a lot of times we think of, when we think of a false prophet, sometimes we think of somebody that's kind of creepy and says something that we don't like. Just somebody that just looks bad. But what we see here is that everybody was listening to these false prophets. And everybody liked them. And they were saying nice things that people like to hear. And that's what's happening today. Lots of people, they go and they learn how to be pastors. And they learn for 4 years how to say nice things that people like to hear. And people go and they listen to people say nice things. They learn. They learn how to speak in a way that people get excited and they enjoy listening to what these people say. And they're not looked at as bad people. They're happy and they're full of joy and everybody likes them. But Jeremiah, it says here that his eyes were running down with tears night and day. Jeremiah probably looked like somebody who was sad, who wasn't very happy. And every time he had something to say, it wasn't ever anything very, very happy. It was something that made people fear. It made people worry about things. The things that they were doing wrong. And Jeremiah said these things, and people hated Jeremiah for it. And so God was speaking to the people, and they would not listen. And so this is what happened. We'll see if what Jeremiah said happened, or if what these prophets that everybody liked to listen to said would happen. Well, what happened was what we're going to read here. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before God, the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Okay. So what happened to Manasseh after he was taken away captive to a far off land? Adam?
He repented.
And I don't remember, but I don't think there is any other king that just started off bad from the very start and then repented like Manasseh did. Maybe there were some that started off good and then they did some bad things and then they repented. But I don't think there's any other king that just started off like this, not doing anything right, and then repented and then started doing some good things that we're going to read about right here. Oh, before we look at what Manasseh did after he repented, there is actually recorded in the Apocrypha the prayer that Manasseh prayed when he was in captivity in Assyria. Let me find it here. Okay, it's not very long, so I'll read it to you. This is what Manasseh prayed after he was taken away and being held captive in Babylon for all the wicked things he did. He said, O Lord, Almighty God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of their righteous seed, who has made heaven and earth with all the ornament thereof, who has bound the sea by the word of thy commandment, who has shut up the deep and sealed it by thy terrible and glorious name, whom all men fear and tremble before thy power, for the majesty of thy glory cannot be borne. And thy angry threatening towards sinners is unbearable, but thy merciful promises is unmeasurable and unsearchable. For thou art the most high Lord of great compassion, long-suffering, very merciful, and repentest of the evils of men. Thou, O Lord, according to thy great goodness, hast promised repentance and forgiveness to them that sinned against thee, and of thy infinite mercies hast appointed repentance unto sinners, that they may be saved. Thou, therefore, O Lord, that art the God of the just, has not appointed repentance to the just as to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, which have not sinned against thee, but thou hast appointed repentance unto me, that am a sinner. For I have sinned above the number of the sands of the sea. My transgressions, O Lord, are multiplied. My transgressions are multiplied, and I am not worthy to behold and see the height of heaven for the multitude of my iniquities. I am bowed down with many iron bands, that I cannot lift up my head, neither have any release, for I have provoked thy wrath and done evil before thee. I did not thy will, neither kept I thy commandments. I have set up abominations and have multiplied offenses. Now therefore, I bow the knee of my heart, beseeching thee of grace. I have sinned, O Lord, I have sinned and acknowledged mine iniquities. Therefore I humbly beseech thee, forgive me, O Lord. Forgive me and destroy me not with mine iniquities. Be not angry with me forever by reserving evil for me, neither condemn me into the lower parts of the earth. For thou art the God, even the God of them that repent, and in me thou wilt show all thy goodness. For thou wilt save me that am unworthy, according to thy great mercy. Therefore I will praise thee forever, all the days of my life, for all the powers of the heavens do praise thee. And thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, that's what happened. That's how Manasseh responded after he was taken captive to Babylon and humbled by God. And this is what he did afterwards. Here we see. Now, okay. And Manasseh prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and God heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David, on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spoke unto him in the name of the Lord our God Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also and how God was entreated of him, and all his sins and his trespass, and the places wherein he built the high places and set up the groves and graven images before he was humbled, behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So that's what we just read, the prayer of Manasseh that was written down by one of the prophets. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old. He was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them. So apparently these carved images that Manasseh had made were still around, and now Amon was sacrificing to them again. He humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh's father had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more. And his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. The people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king instead. So, next week, we're going to read about Josiah. Alright. You're going to find verses that have to do with music. Right? Is that right? Singing. So we'll just start and go this way. Go ahead, Adam.
Psalm 13:6. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Okay. Hans, you got one?
Matthew 26:30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Okay. Martin?
Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Let's go this way.
Psalm 117:119. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Okay.
Judah. Among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing what? There you go. Let him sing psalms. Okay. Roger.
Okay.
Ephesians 5:19. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing heartily and making your music to the Lord.
Okay. And you go to this one here. Okay.
James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs.
Okay. Arthur.
Acts 15:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them.
Okay. All right. Oh, you got one. Okay, go ahead and stand up.
Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Okay. Next week, anybody have any ideas?
You got one, Sebastian.
Oh, Sebastian. No. Yeah. Alrighty. Next week, what's the memory? Okay. All right. Tonight, we'll let you know tonight what you're gonna memorize next week.